What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Donate and listen to the podcast at wrwl.org.
All righty, we are back. Very quickly, make a couple quick announcements. And one is tomorrow, Thursday, June 13th, 7 p.m. at Denny's Restaurant here in Northeast Ohio and Mentor, Denny's Restaurant in 7700 Mentor Avenue, just west of the Great Lake Mall. Yours truly, none other than old pastor. I'm going to be out there speaking to the Heritage Club, Hal Warner and the Heritage Club out there, about the Bible and what is happening today, current events. And so, and then on Friday, 7 p.m., Tactical Civics meeting is going to be at the Ransom Sage Farm there in Chardon. For more information, you can call Bill Wiles at 907-723-9839. That's Bill Wiles at 907-723-9839. More and more people are getting involved in Tactical Civics, taking our country back, restoring the people's grand jury, the standing militia according to the Constitution. We're seeing it moving that way more and more every day. Now, Wendy, what I was telling you about it, A.G. Merrick Garland classified embarrassing audio recordings of Joe Biden interview with Special Counsel Hur as top secret. Now, here's a guy that's going after President Trump in every way you could possibly go after him. And what are the things that Joe Biden has said that were classified as top secret? This was an interview on his health, right? This is something that we, the people, need to know. And, you know, we've sat and we've watched what's happened to the J6 Sixers. We've seen the pro-lifers for going out to the abortion mills and rescuing babies, having their doors kicked in at 2 in the morning, having guns stuck in the face of their 5-year-olds. We've seen homeschoolers for simply homeschooling, having their doors broken down in the middle of the night. This is... Ronald Reagan said it very well, too, and before him it was Thomas Jefferson, said that when the people fear government, you have tyranny. When the government fears the people, you have liberty. And right now they're at war. Merrick Garland is leading the war against the people. The federal government is and so here, what happened today, there's this congresswoman, and her name is Anna Paulina Luna. And I thought that was the title of a song when I heard, when I heard her name mentioned several times. But this woman here, she is pushing hard, and she pushed hard. And today, the Congress held him in contempt. The Republicans voted, every single Republican except for one. Every single Republican except for one voted to charge him with contempt of Congress, Merrick Garland. And that one that didn't vote, that voted against it, was former prosecutor Dave Joyce. And Dave Joyce says, and he needs, because now, Wendy, what they're going to do, because you know that the DOJ is not going to prosecute Merrick Garland. They're not going to prosecute their own boss, the next guy in line. So under the law, when you have a situation like that, the remedy is the Congress has the sergeant of arms. The sergeant of arms has the constitutional authority to go over and arrest Merrick Garland. Now, I think the last time something like this happened was about 1900, is when they had to use this. But here now, we need, everyone needs to let their congressman vote in favor of sending a sergeant of arms over there. But I'm especially need to call Dave Joyce's. He needs to hear from you. He needs to know what you people think about what he did. His office number in Washington, D.C., folks, and call. This is important. You got to fight back. You just got to fight back. 202-225-5731. That's 202-225-5731. He's got a local number here in Mentor, Ohio at 440-352-3939. But you got to call. You got to let them know. You just got to let them know, folks. We're not going to take it. We're just not going to take it anymore. So, in fact, let me just tell you what happened here. I'm looking at this with NBC. NBC's attempt to characterize Trump supporters, all Trump supporters, as deranged maniacs. And it kind of really backfires on them. When NBC News went on the air Thursday to cover President Trump's disgraceful conviction of a kangaroo New York City court on bogus crimes, they attempted to take a subtle shot at Trump supporters in the process, but it ended up backfiring on them. As the Media Research Center reported Friday, NBC reporter Laura Jarrett was on air breaking down her analysis of the disgusting verdict when the network's cameras cut to a hysterical Trump fan in the middle of her report who was screaming like a deranged lunatic while holding a Free Father Teresa sign. There was just one problem for the network, though. The man in the video, who MRC identified as Tony Barbieri, is an actor who occasionally performs for the far-left ABC Late Night's host Jimmy Kimmel on the Jimmy Kimmel Show Live. And so Barbieri calls Jake Beard and travels across America acting like a crazed right-winger for Kimmel's fans. So there you go. They got exposed. Okay. Have you noticed how the fake news media, how what is called mainstream, how they keep losing credibility over and over and over? You have an article there, Richard?
Yeah, I have an article that talks about Tucker Carlson's investigation. The FBI interrogates. The FBI is now a secret police organization that targets, humiliates, and severs ties with pro-Trump members in its ranks.
Yeah, and what it's doing is purging anybody that's affiliated, any of its FBI agents that they knew voted for Trump or even took activity that went out to any of the rallies, they're purging them. This is pure communism.
Absolutely. And using the FBI as a tool or a weapon like this to do this.
All right, little Lisa. Lisa's got an article.
Okay, this one's from the Gateway Pundit and says, furious, Nasty Pelosi rants on MSNBC and dismisses the explosive new video admitting she is responsible for lack of National Guard on J6. In a recent MSNBC interview, former Speaker of the House Nasty Pelosi dismissed the explosive new video that revealed her admitting that she refused to secure the Capitol on January 6th. The Gateway Pundit reported earlier that as Pelosi fled the Capitol amid the chaos, she grilled her top staffer regarding the situation. Quote, "We have a responsibility, Terry. We did not have any accountability on what was going on there, and we should have," she said. "You're going to ask me in the middle of the thing when they've already breached the inaugural staff, should we call the National Guard?" She incredulously asked her chief of staff, Terry McCullough while being escorted to Fort McNair. Why weren't the National Guard there to begin with? And during her appearance on MSNBC, she was, of course, quick to brand the video as revisionist history, insisting that the real blame lies with President Trump and his supporters. But President Trump did not incite an insurrection, but rather called for peaceful protests. He also offered National Guard assistance multiple times prior to January 6th, but these offers were declined by Pelosi and other congressional leaders.
That's right, and not only that, but I believe you have the other article where the chief of police came forward and said, yes, Trump offered and offered the National Guard and said, look, let's do it. And
yes,
they turned it down along with the mayor there of D.C. Go ahead.
Yeah, this is a follow-up on that article that Lisa just read. The Pelosi and the mayor turned down thousands of National Guard troops at the Capitol on January 6th for political reasons. The FBI also refused to notify the Trump administration and his cabinet secretaries that they believed that there could be violence like the mass protests at the Capitol and took place that day. Nancy Pelosi also refused the National Guard at the U.S. Capitol due to political, but that is just her excuse. What did she know in advance? The Capitol Police Chief previously testified that he asked House and Senate Secretary officials for permission to request the D.C. National Guard to be placed on standby in case he needed quick backup, but they both turned him down. Pelosi was not honest about their commitment. She lied.
Well, you know, one of the reasons that Merrick Garland classified hers interview with or consultation, I should call it, is because they believe that he had told him, admitted to keeping these documents that he had, classified documents, that all of the stuff that they charged Trump for, bogus, here in this interview, Biden admitted that he had broken the law on more than one occasion. And that's why they want to get these audio tapes.
Mm-hmm.
But this is why Merrick Garland has said, no, hey, we have to classify him as top secret. He can't do that. And so we'll find out what happens. So I'm hoping the people call. I'm hoping that the Congress will again vote to have the marshal, because what will happen if the sergeant-at-arms of the Congress, they have a jail cell right there in the congressional building. If they go over and arrest him, he has to stay there until he releases those documents. And so, and that would be some justice. Why don't we, you know, have some people, could you believe having people obeying the law?
My goodness.
Yes.
That would be something.
What a day that'll be.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, Pastor, do you think they're ever going to release all of the J6 video footage?
That Johnson has that, the Speaker of the House, and Trump says he would do it. Trump said he would release it all. Okay?
Because we've seen, like, what, a quarter?
Yeah. And not only that, but Trump also said that he would release the information on JFK's assassination also, that he was going to release that. So we got to, you know, we need to get
Trump. I bet you that video would free a lot of these persecuted J6ers, showing that they were innocent.
Absolutely. But, you know, what else it would do, it would show you how many of them, look, we've watched Merrick Garland and Christopher Wray perjure themselves. We've watched them lie under oath time and time again before Congress. Mm-hmm. To sit there, Merrick Garland said, there is no difference at all in the treatment of, and when it comes to the laws, the way that they treat Democrats and Republicans. Do you notice how they went after all of Trump's people? You know, bogus, all kinds of bogus things. You don't see them going after too many Democrats. They threw what's-his-name under the bus because he got caught with taking so many bribes. And I'm the one congressman, I believe, from New York. Can you think of his name?
Who, Menendez?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, glory hallelujah that Anna Paulina Luna And then all of these Republicans voted to hold him in contempt. And the next step is we got to pray, dear Lord, that they do it and pass it.
Yeah.
That this Sergeant Arms takes care of business.
Yeah.
It's a step in the right direction. It's desperately needed.
You're not kidding
Restore
about that.
Restore law and order.
Yeah. In fact, here's a part of the article. Later, a transcript of the heard interview with Biden was released, but the Republican majority in the House has demanded access to the audio tapes. You know, this thing was so redacted, you couldn't see anything, you know. Explaining that they can reveal a lot more than just in this so-called printed word. They're investigating Biden for impeachment, for possible to say that his verbal and mental flubs and blunders could provide all the evidence they need. So, there you go.
Well, getting rid of Biden is not the solution. It's getting rid of these Democrats totally.
Well, yeah, it's unbelievable where we're at, but we're going to be playing a clip here on Friday, Lord's willing, and it's going to show you what's happening. You're hearing from people, from the blacks in the inner cities, especially in Chicago, and what they're doing. I mean, it's just incredible. They're bringing in all of these illegal aliens, Salvadorians and that, and they're putting them up in nice hotels, nice motels. They're feeding them, and they're taking them, cutting and taking the homes or the property, well, I should say, the aid that the residents, the American citizens in these cities were getting. Now they want to talk, you know, the mayor there of New York wanted to know if the New York, people who lived there in New York, the residents would start taking in some of these illegal aliens into their homes, okay? This is an invasion. We told you before, look, they brought in, years ago, we knew that their goal was 50 million people. Once they had 50 million people, they were going to try to take the country over. They're right, almost there right now. And we know that they have, in our newsletter, we have a newsletter that's going out, and it shows you thousands and thousands of these illegals that coming over in this huge crowd, and it focuses in, and about 80% of them are fighting age young men, military age.
Mm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so, folks, our country is being invaded. Joe Biden, Nancy Pelosi, Merrick Garland, they all need to be tried for treason. They have committed high treason. They're purposely bringing these people in. Biden is responsible, too, and these people for, what do we have, 100,000 young people die from
fentanyl?
Fentanyl,
yes.
Yeah. Alone. Not only that, but they had, you know, we just did that story on the panty tree where they found these trees and they had women's panties hanging on the trees. And part of paying...
they rape them.
These coyotes to get you across the border into the United States. Not only did they have to pay them, but they had to agree, these women, to allow themselves to be raped, you know.
I don't think they can agree. They're getting raped. And then the United Nations solution is to give them rape kits.
Yeah, well, they agreed when they pay their money. Yes, they told that they're going to get raped, and they agree to it, you know. So,
jeez.
That's a fact. The United Nations literally giving them rape kits.
Yeah. Yeah, but what they do
sounds
is,
like a good solution.
Yeah,
maybe they should close the border and restore law and order.
Maybe we should build a wall around Washington D.C.
Yes,
keep them all in there.
Mm-hmm.
That might be an idea.
Yes.
What do you think about all that, Wendy?
Well, I think it's sad. It's sad that this country's in this kind of situation, and that's happening to people. Sad.
Well, you know, what about the economy? Aren't you glad the economy's good? We keep hearing those people telling us how. We keep hearing the fake news media telling us how good the job market is and all of this stuff. And
Well, what I'm reading from, you know, middle class America, you know, small business owners, is they can't survive another 4 years of the Biden administration. They'll be out of business, they said.
Yeah, I know. But, you know, another 4 years and the country will be gone.
Yeah.
Things are going to get really tough this summer. Right now in Chicago, they have brought in so many illegal aliens. There's so many gangs now in Chicago where the Democratic Communist Party wanted to have their convention in August, where they're saying maybe we ought to move it because the police in Chicago have said, we are not, this city's going to burn, and we are not prepared, we're not even close to being prepared to handle what's going to take place.
Wow.
Okay, and so, again, the Democrats have brought these people in. And now what's going to happen, again, this country, unless the good Lord intervenes, we're going to be in a civil war. It's going to be a real...
What did I say when Biden was declared the president and the Democrats were doing what they were doing, undoing everything, you know, Trump did? I said, they're a wrecking ball. That's what they are. And they've always been that way. I mean, ever since I was old enough to understand a little bit of the concept of politics, every time there were Democrats in the White House, we had struggles in this nation. We had gas lines or some sort of, you know, stuff we had to do without. Or higher taxes we had to pay. It's always been the case.
Yeah, Jimmy Carter brought us 25% interest rates on our credit cards. And remember the gas lines when Carter was there?
Hmm. Yeah, odd and off days. I remember sitting in line with my mom in the station wagon because, you know, you had to go by your license plate number.
Wow.
How does Pastor, how does today compare to the Carter days as far as with the inflation?
Well, the country was not in dire threat. I mean, we didn't have the same. We are under a dire threat in this country.
Financial aspect.
Financial aspect is probably pretty close to the same. Carter might even be a little bit worse with the credit people couldn't buy. But now, it's the same thing in the sense that people can't buy homes today. The housing market. The prices have gone up. Do you know what the average price now? The average price for a house is,
isn't it $500,000?
$500,000. The average price. My first house, I bought it for $24,000.
Yeah,
huge difference.
There's a big trend to also kicking people out of their homes through HOA dues that are, not been paid. And also raising the property tax. That's how they're taking homes away.
Yeah, I know that. And property tax are not lawful. They're not biblical either. And so,
covered that last time. You know, there's an allodial title on your land right now, probably. Just got to go claim it.
Yep. And so, yeah, we got to take our country back, folks. You got to wake up. It's, you know, what has brought us here, Wendy, is ignorance and apathy.
Mm-hmm. Right. Complacency.
Complacency.
Yes.
Call your congressman and tell them to have the sergeant of arms arrest Merrick Garland. That's a good start.
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
They need to do that tonight.
That needs to be done.
Leave the message. When these congressmen go to their offices in the morning and they have phones filled with messages, they'll get the message, folks.
Pastor, I have one of your listeners that has called into our call center. I mentioned willow bark and meadow sweet. They're the same formula. They're in the two herbs are in the same product. So it's not two separate products. It's just willow bark and meadow sweet both have a lot of the same components, and it just makes a stronger formula. So that's why they're together.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know, I've got probably 50 bottles of your, and I'm just wondering. I can't remember seeing the bark there, the willow bark, but I'm going to check it out because I want to have some of that on hand.
Yeah, that's the ingredient in the name of the product that the willow bark and meadowsweet are in is called pain anti-inflammatory.
Okay, I have that. I do know. Yep. I have that. Yeah.
Yep.
That's a tincture.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. And just remember, you know, science is telling you it's good for these viruses.
And how one bottle, how long does that last?
Well, if you were using it, I guess, as a deterrent for viruses, you would probably take a maintenance dose once or twice a day. So a one-ounce bottle would last you probably 2 weeks, but we offer it in larger sizes. So it depends on how fast you're moving through it. If you're just using it for maintenance doses, you can get 25 days out of this 1 ounce. But if you're taking it for pandemic purposes, you're going to move through it pretty quick. So get the larger size, and they have discounts built into them already. Plus, we're having a Father's Day sale. It's 20% off.
You still have those pandemic kits?
We do, yeah.
All right, I know that.
We have pneumonia kits, heart attack packs, shingles kits for shingles, sleep apnea packs. We have a bunch of stuff.
Excuse me, is this Lisa? I was just wondering, I'm always getting that double pneumonia thing, and that willow bark, do you think that can prevent or treat double pneumonia so you don't have to go to the hospital every time?
Well, it depends on if you've got a viral-type pneumonia or if you have a bacterial.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so it'll work best with the viral type, but you're going to need a different set of herbs.
Okay.
That's what we use for the bacterial type. So usually the pneumonia pack that we have works well. It has an expectorant in it, too.
Whoa. So I should order that for the next time this happens to me. I have that happen quite often.
Well, so you get a jump on it. First signs of congestion, you want to start using it right away.
Okay.
So
I should order the pneumonia pack then, right?
Yeah. And if you have, an issue where you're getting repeated bouts of sinusitis, pneumonia, and stuff like that, you kind of know what the signs are, so you want to start right away with using it.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. All right, folks, to get this catalog that she has, the Natural Herbs, you definitely want to, keep on to those. You know, God is immutable. He hasn't changed, and I know everything's changing out there. But, you know, he created us, and he created those natural herbs for the healing of the nations, so they still work. And Wendy's, and you can go to thepowerherbs.com, or you can call 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663. I know about her products. I've been using them for years myself.
Yeah, and there's the liquids. That's the thing to point out why I like the tinctures best is the shelf life is like 10 years. So you can stock up on things, and they got a really good shelf life.
All right, very, very good. When it comes to the effectiveness and the strength, how does the textures compare to, say, the powders?
Your powders, if you're adding them to a beverage, they become water-soluble, and so easy to absorb, just like the tinctures are. So there's not a whole lot of time spent with the body trying to digest anything, so they're usually in the system in about 60 seconds. So your powders aren't going to be as potent as the tinctures. Your tinctures are concentrates, okay? If they're made properly, they're really potent. We make a professional grade because we don't use any heat in the process, so that protects alkaloid strength and makes the formula stronger in the end. So any heat kind of weakens the product. So no heat. You want a product with no heat. Herbs are heat sensitive, and they're also light sensitive. That's why they're in the dark amber glass. So there's just a way of making a tincture so that it's the most powerful. The less you do to it, faster, the better it is. You know, you don't have to, you know, heat stuff up. You don't have to do forced extraction methods. It's ridiculous. There's a way of making them, and you make them like they did a couple hundred thousands of years ago, and it's really great stuff. You know, one of my herbal professors, when I was in herb school, he would go out to the Native American Indian reservations, and they had their herbal Indian doctors there, okay? And they would make tinctures. He said he went into the shack of one of these Indians who was making tinctures for the whole plant, the whole tribe. And he had bottles that were 100 years old, aging 100 years.
Wow.
He said, seriously, because the longer you age it, the stronger it is. Wow. And so I said, what did it taste like? He said, it'll curl your toes. It was strong. It was very strong. So we do a natural aging process. So we age 30 days, and if it's a double tincture, 60 days. So you've got some power behind naturally aged tinctures. You really do.
Wow. All right. Very good. Well, we're going to be coming up to a break. Hang tight. We'll be back right after this. Words, my everlasting words. My words have brought you here to me. And I won't ever let you down, but you should have a fear of me. His word is what spoke the universe into being, huh?
Amen. And holds it all together.
Absolutely. Listen to this. This day in history, today in history, June 12th, racist Democrats protest a black woman's invitation to the White House luncheon with the First Lady Hoover. 95 years ago today, on June 12th, 1929, Democrats across the country expressed outrage that President Herbert Hoover's wife, Lou, invited an African-American woman to the White House reception. First Lady Lou Hoover, a Republican, held a luncheon for the wives of Republican congressmen. Ms. Hoover refused the Democrats' demand that she rescind her invitation to Jesse D. Priest, wife of Oscar D. Priest, an African-American congressman from Chicago. The luncheon went as planned. There you go. And it's pictures of them here. You don't hear too much about that. I mean, it's just an amazing thing. Now, do you think that the black folks out there are starting to awaken?
We certainly hope so. They need to quit listening to the mainstream media and start listening to some real facts.
Right. I mean, who was it that got them? First of all, Abraham Lincoln was a Republican. You know, They don't teach them these things in the public school system today, do they?
Akron, Ohio's public school system in 2020 wrote a resolution, and they all signed it, calling racism a public health crisis, and that America was built on 400-plus years of chattel slavery. And this is what they're teaching at the Akron Public Schools.
The Ku Klux Klan was a part of the Democratic Communist Party. So there you go, folks. I mean, that's
if you live in Akron, I would definitely, and you got kids, probably shouldn't send them to that school. If not, or if they are even still doing it, they're not.
For 50 years, we've been preaching here, if you love your children, get them out of the public school system.
Yeah, that's right.
Richard, you were with me years ago. You heard us preaching that.
Absolutely.
You know, we told people, we started, myself and a lady called Martha Lippitt started the home, well, we were the pioneers of the homeschooling movement here in Ohio, going back to the 70s, okay?
Yeah. And, well, that's great.
When it really took off, but
if they're not able to afford private schooling, you got to read what their curriculums are. They're exposing them to the woke, sexually perverted garbage or the racist stuff.
Well, what has happened, COVID did what I couldn't do all those years. I kept telling people, folks, you wouldn't believe what they're teaching your children. We sent out the newsletters and showed them and that. But now when COVID came along and the children were sent home, and they had their curriculum, and the children started talking to their parents. And when they started talking to their parents, the parents found out what they were being taught. And they realized that some of this stuff, the children told them, well, we were told not to tell you about what we saw, you know.
Wow.
Time and time again. And that's where you got into all the pornography in the libraries, okay. So in the public school system, plus, you know, they were promoting
CRT,
pardon?
The critical race theory.
Yeah.
The social emotional learning. It's all Marxist garbage.
And right.
It's toxic and destructive to their development and then their worldview and becoming productive adults.
They started
it's
having
really bad
LGBTQ
stuff.
Days in the public school systems, so some of them allowing now. These drag queens in. I mean, it's pretty bad, okay?
Guess what they don't even call Akron schools anymore, the public school system. Guess what they call them?
What?
Community learning centers.
Hmm. They don't call them indoctrination centers?
Sounds communist, doesn't it? Community learning center instead of school.
I know for years they've been hotbeds of cultural Marxism.
Akron's been Democrat for decades.
Yeah. Alrighty, here, Dr. Ben Carson announces he will meet with Trump this weekend as vice president rumors swirl. What do you think of that, Wendy?
Yeah, I had read that. Actually, Trump sent out a survey with five, maybe eight people's names on it, asking people who they thought would, you know, his short list of vice president picks. And so he was asking his database of people what they thought and why they, you know, select one and tell them why, that kind of thing. So they had a couple of women on there, I think, but the rest were men.
Ben Carson would be a good choice.
Carson was on the list. Actually.
Yeah, he's a good man. Yes,
he's probably the smartest of them all.
Yes.
Well, my personal feeling is just as long as they're not a career politician or an attorney, you know, and they got some business sense and they know the Lord. That's what I would say.
Yeah, we're pretty smart, Wendy.
Well, I mean, you know. A lot of these politicians, they've never run a business. Trump has. And that's why he was so good at, you know, building up the economy. So some people just aren't, you know, business-oriented.
When I think about it, if it hadn't been for you, I might have become an attorney. And I wouldn't have wanted to do that.
Really? You weren't going to be an attorney.
Okay. Just who would think that I would ever pull your leg, right?
I mean, that's the last thing I would picture you doing.
Yeah, me too. Although
you'd be a good lawyer.
I taught biblical law, okay, but I probably wouldn't work out. Well, Richard, you know I wouldn't work out too good in the secular courts, right?
No way.
We've been
in and out of those enough.
We've been in and out of those, and I learned how to do my prison ministry from both sides of the bars there, or the jail ministry, I should say.
Yeah, me too.
Over the years. But you know what? We're, you know, we fall into line with, well, let me see. Who was it that went to prison? A guy named Jesus. They had him locked up. They had the Apostles Paul, Peter. It seems like we had some pretty good men locked up by corrupt governments, huh?
Yes.
Paul Bunyan.
Yeah, they were in good company with the Lord, weren't they?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What did Jesus say? Woe unto you lawyers, woe unto you lawyers, woe unto you lawyers, huh?
Yes.
Yes.
Right. So. Mm-hmm.
Who wrote The Pilgrim's Progress? Is that Paul Bunyan?
No, that was not Paul Bunyan. Paul Bunyan's the guy that had that great big old ox.
Was it John Bunyan?
John Bunyan. The Pilgrim's Progress.
John Bunyan,
yes.
Yeah. John Bunyan spent 14 years in prison. Do you know why?
Because he was preaching the Bible.
Well, no, because he would not take the 501c3 of his day.
He wouldn't take a license.
He refused to be.
Well, he wouldn't preach the government doctrine. Right?
Well, he refused to be licensed to preach in the Church of England, you know. And they can't do that. God calls his people. And so,
isn't that why the pilgrims fled? Was because they didn't want to be under the Church of England?
They wanted to have religious liberty, not
biblical religion.
Yeah. And so, and again, here today in this country, so many people, because of ignorance and apathy, half the people don't even realize if you are in a 501c3, you're not in a church. You're in a corporation, okay? You've agreed to that in a contract with the state.
And
You've entered into a contract. Am I right, Richard?
Yes, and that's the same thing. If you are in an incorporated church, you're in an agreement with the state. The 501c3 is an agreement with the federal government.
Well, when you do that, you agree that the state, not Christ, is your head.
That's right.
It tells you that you agree that instead of being the living body of Christ, which the church is, you're a non-living creation of the state. Corpus means non-living corporation. So you say, well, we're not the living body of Christ, but we're a corporation. Now, I've had a number of pastors say, well, I know we're a corporation, but we don't really feel that way. We believe that we're the body of Christ. That's what we teach. But you signed a contract, you entered into agreement with the state, and you said that, yes, you agreed that you were a non-living creation of the state. So, you know, then your word means nothing, right?
So,
well, yeah, a corporation comes from the word corpse, dead, right? And so does mortgage. It comes from, you know, the old English term called death pledge.
Yep.
The bank will get its money even when you die. You know, I wish Trump and some of these politicians would, you know, show people that we've got this monument called the National Monument to the Forefathers. They call it also the Liberty Matrix. It's the largest granite monument in the United States. And it's the recipe our founding fathers and one of the earliest Congresses put together, this monument on how to run a nation that's got liberty and free of tyranny. It's all over this monument. It's the secret sauce recipe. People should go see it. It's up there. There's some really great YouTube videos on it.
Did you see what they did outside the White House? And they were defiling all of the monuments there in D.C.
Oh, yeah.
Where is that monument, Wendy?
Let me look real quick. This was designed by Hamel Billings, the monument, commissioned by the Pilgrim Society. And does it give it? It's in Plymouth, Massachusetts, on Allerton Street.
Wow, thank you.
But, so if you go to YouTube and you type in Liberty Matrix, You can watch a video. Kirk Cameron, put in the word his name, Kirk Cameron, because there's a great video that he produced on this monument.
Okay.
Pastor, now, I got a question about the 501c3.
Yeah.
So if a church that's in agreement with that currently, is it accurate that they can get rid of it and then they'll be protected under the First Amendment because of freedom of religion?
Well, yeah, you can get rid of it, yeah.
So why aren't they doing that?
This process. Lawyers and accountants, most of these people, they don't realize, you know, first of all, you do not have to be incorporated. I had two former IRS agents on my radio program, and they said, we were always amazed on why these people, these churches, would voluntarily place themselves under our control. You know, there was no law that said you had to do that. Okay.
Matter of fact, there is no there's no law to say you need to be 501c3. The point is that a church has always been tax deductible. You don't need the 501c3.
Actually, an actual church is tax immune. It's a tax immune.
Yes, but the contributions or the things that the people do for that church is always tax deductible on the individual tax return without the 501c3. On top of it, there is no penalty for a church opting out of the 501c3. If they choose to quit, there's no penalty because there's no law that they're supposed to be.
Hmm. Right.
Wow. So is it what, just ignorance that churches across the country
are doing this? Hosea 4:6 says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, okay? And, yeah, it's out of ignorance. And there's so many things that in this country, like your income tax and wages that people aren't aware of, that are not constitutional at all.
And this has been going on since President Johnson, is that correct? The 60s?
Oh, this has been going on longer than that.
Yeah. I thought it was his administration.
No, it was the 501c3, 1954.
Mm-hmm. So it was Eisenhower?
That was Johnson. When he was senator. He wasn't a president. He was a senator. Okay. See, what happened, the John Birch Society they were a tax-exempt organization. And what he wanted to do, because they were exposing Johnson's voting record, and he didn't want them to be able to expose that voting record. Okay. So, well, he wanted to pass a law that if you violated your tax-exempt status by exposing a voting record of someone like him, you would lose your tax-exempt status, okay? That was the point. So,
yeah, I think Johnson actually just added to or made it stronger. There was some legislation before that even.
Yeah. Hmm. I've got something here, and this is an amazing thing. I don't know. How much time do I have, Style?
About 6 minutes.
I don't have time for this tonight. This is, but the article says, unbelievable. Experts discover oldest written records of Jesus Christ's childhood, revealing an amazing miracle not in the Bible. And it's very interesting, but I can tell you one thing. This is put out by the Gateway Pundit. We're gonna look into this very, very clearly because... No, I'll be talking about it tomorrow. They claim that CBS reported a 1,600-year-old document had been stored in a university library in Hamburg, Germany, for decades. But we'll be talking more about this later. But right now, you know what we're talking about? It's that time where we get to the most important part of the program. Everybody that's listening to us out there someday, what's going to happen to them?
Going before God.
They're going to die, right? Okay, and so is there anyone around that was here 200 years ago? No. So what does the Bible say? It says it's appointed to all men once to die, and then what happens?
Judgment.
Then the judgment. Judgment.
Okay, now, are there absolutes in the Bible?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. So it's appointed to all men once to die, and then the judgment. And then the Bible gives you two options, two places you're going to end up. You're either going to be found guilty or innocent, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that means you're either going to end up in heaven or hell. Is that right?
That's right.
Okay, so there's no in-between. What if you don't believe that? Are you still going to end up in heaven or hell?
Just like gravity. You cannot believe in gravity, but jump off a building and find out what happens.
Yes.
Yeah, you just decide that you wanted to fly and you had a rude awakening, huh?
Okay. Amen.
So this is reality. We're talking about reality. We're not talking about things like drag queens or men having babies or all the things that Democrats believe in. We're talking about realities, right? And so, folks, here's the reality. The Bible makes it very clear that all of us were born in sin. We're all born sinners. And only sinners need a Savior. And if you're out there listening to me tonight, and if you have not done what the Lord Jesus said. He did for us what we could never do for ourselves. He's the only one to fit the bill, the only one that could have done that, because he was the only man that ever walked the face of the earth that lived a totally sinless life. That was totally sinless, right? And he was so, what he did is he took your place. He died a substitutionary death for you and for me upon that cross at Calvary. He didn't have to do that, but he did it because his Father, God the Father, demanded a sinless sacrifice. He said, it's you or they're condemned to hell. And so he did it. He took our place upon that cross. Now, here's what he says where you can get out of hell free card. You can do that by doing this. This is what the Lord Jesus said. Not complicated. He said, first you need to repent. Recognize the fact that you are a sinner and you need a Savior. And you repent by praying to the Father and asking for forgiveness of your sins. See, what I'm talking about is the real thing. This is reality, folks. Believe me. And if you do that, God will always honor that. And then he tells you, then call upon his name. You call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You ask him to be the Lord of your life, all of your life, without any reservations. Cannot be any reservations. He's got to be first, very first, before father, before mother, before any other, before yourself. You got to put him first in your life. And if you do that, then he will honor that. And you will become a new creature. You got God's word on it, right? God, there's nothing as sure as God's word. It's the most sure thing
absolutely
ever.
If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation.
And you will become a new creature, a born-again believer, an heir of the kingdom, and you'll be on your way to eternity, won't you?
Mm-hmm.
And so, folks, that is reality. Believe me. There are no unbelievers in heaven or hell. Everybody in heaven and everybody in hell believe. And you will too. You will too. You're either going to be believing in glory or you're going to be believing in torment. Believe me, you don't want the other. Well, we're at that point where we come to every night at this time. And Wendy's here. She can do it with us, right?
Mm-hmm.
We say, thanks for being here, all of you. Good night.
Good night.
And so, as we always say, God bless. See you tomorrow, right? And
always.
Let's see if they go early. Ready? Keep fighting the fight. They went early. They went early. The fight!
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.